Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 37. As you are able, please rise out of honor for the word of our God. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants to each his work, and commanded the doorkeepers to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Let us pray. Glorious Son, our Savior who is coming again, send your Spirit to fill us and prepare us for your return, so that the Father might be glorified by your redemptive work in our salvation, both in this life and the life to come. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Not too long ago, I saw a little child sitting in front of the living room window, looking out the window, staring out the window, waiting for his loved one to return. The child was almost inconsolable in their anxiety and deep concern because their loved one had not returned at the time they said they would return. He was paying careful attention to what was going on outside of that window for any sign of their return. The sound of a car door, the flash of a headlight coming toward the house. And when their loved one returned, the change in their demeanor was incredible. They're here, was the cry as the child rushed to the door. Can you imagine what it would have been like if this child had missed the coming home of their loved one? Maybe you've seen a child run to their parent, hands outstretched, crying, Mommy, Daddy! No doubt perhaps you've also done that at one time or other. Have you ever seen this kind of longing for the return of a loved one? In our passage today, Jesus commands his disciples to wait patiently, carefully, and attentively for his return, just as this child was waiting for the return of their loved one. We are at the last portion of Jesus' teaching, as recorded by the apostle or by Mark, concerning the end of time, concerning the question that the disciples had asked Jesus, when will these things be? That is the destruction of Jerusalem, but also as Jesus describes for the disciples the destruction of Jerusalem, he also throws in there a teaching on when he will return. You see, Jesus had come to establish the kingdom of God, and he was preparing his disciples for his return. For not many days later, 3-4 days later, Jesus would return. The disciples would not have anyone to come to ask questions, for Jesus would be crucified and would be buried. And Jesus was preparing them for the coming of the kingdom of God. For it was necessary that Jesus would be crucified. It was necessary that Jesus would die. But Jesus did not remain in the grave. He rose again to establish that kingdom of God on earth, and he would do so through his disciples. But his disciples loved and longed for the Lord Jesus, and they understood his teaching that he would be going away, and they said, "When are you going to be coming back? We long for this kingdom. We long for you to rule over this kingdom." And Jesus teaches them and reminds them that terrible darkness will announce his glorious return to gather his elect, as you saw the last time we were looking at this passage. And by God's grace, today I would like to show you that you must be ready and prepared for Christ's sudden return. You'll see the signs of his coming, the time of his coming, and the anticipation of his coming. First, the signs of his coming. Jesus indicates that the signs that he speaks of will begin before this generation passes away, confirming the entirety of his teaching regarding his return. In chapter 13, verse 28, he says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near." Jesus is going to use a parable to illustrate and to drive home the point to his disciples that the things that he has been speaking about are something that they can understand and know. And he's going to use a parable. And that word here in this sense and in this case refers to an analogy or an illustration, something that everybody can relate to and understand and apply it to the spiritual reality. Once again, the fig tree becomes a central part of Jesus' teaching, much like the fig tree that Jesus cursed because it had all the promise of fruit, but was a barren tree. Using that to teach his disciples that they are to bear fruit. Here again, we come to the fig tree. Fig tree is a bush-like tree. It could be a tall tree, anywhere from 3 to 39 feet in height. And its fruit was excellent. And it was plentiful in the land of Israel. In the Mediterranean, it was poor man's food. And the fig is the first fruit that is mentioned in the scriptures, representing often peace and prosperity. And one of the interesting things about the fig tree is that it produces 2 crops a year. Now, if you've grown up in northern climates, the fact that you can get 2 crops in a year is absolutely amazing. Even as we have moved down here into Oklahoma, and as we observe those that are growing crops, we're amazed that sometimes farmers get 2 crops in a year. But the fig tree, it was natural to produce 2 crops, one, an early crop in June, and a second crop later in August. But before the fruit can begin to be produced, the tree has to push forth its leaves again in order that it can take in the sun's light and have the energy to produce that fruit. Now, when does that take place? Now, I didn't read this, so I'm not sure exactly how fig trees work, but as I understand it here from the scripture, it must lose its leaves. It must be like a maple tree or another deciduous tree, which when the winter time comes, it shuts down the sap from flowing through the tree, and the leaves fall off and it becomes barren. And through the winter months, you see just the branches, the bare branches. But as the warmth begins to increase and the sun begins to beat down and the earth begins to grow, that life-giving sap moves through the tree once again, and you begin to see these little buds beginning to swell from the tips of the branches. And even here in Oklahoma, we see that in the springtime, that there are these deciduous trees and they're barren, and you begin to see that little tinge of red at the end. And what is your first thought? Your first thought is, "Oh, the winter's over and the spring is coming, and soon we're going to have the warm weather again. And we don't have to worry about the ice storms or whatever else might be coming our way." When we see the fig producing leaves, we know that the season of winter is over and spring is upon us. And Jesus uses this picture, this analogy, this illustration to illustrate the truth of what he is seeking to teach his disciples. When the branch has become tender and puts forth fruit, leaves, you know that is near. So also, in the same way, when you see these things happening, know that it is near. Know that it is at the doors. Jesus says, when you see these things happening, that is, when you perceive them. It's always interesting that you have to sometimes early in the spring look twice to see, are the leaves actually coming? Before you say, yeah, it is. And Jesus says, when you see all these things, when you perceive all these things, when you understand all these things, when you catch sight of them, know that these things are about to happen. And what are these things that Jesus is referring to? Jesus is referring to the things that he has just been teaching his disciples. Remember, they had left the temple. They were staring at Herod's beautiful temple, the white stone, the gold that gleamed as the sunlight hit it. And they said, look at this building. What a beautiful building. And Jesus had said, I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left upon another. That's what these all things are that Jesus is referring to. Jesus is referring to the destruction of Jerusalem in particular. But he's not just referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of Judaistic worship, the offering of sacrifices. But remember, in the context, Jesus is talking about that, but he's also talking about his return, about when he will come again. And what were some of the things that Jesus said would take place when he returned again? He said, there will be this coming of bogus Christs, of bogus prophets, false Christs, false prophets. They will come and seek to lead astray the elect, if that were possible, which we know is not possible. For those that are in the Lord's hands, no one shall snatch them away. No one shall take them away. These things include the tribulation that is to accompany the destruction of Jerusalem. And Jesus says, when you see these things happening, just as you see the fig pushing forth its leaves, so you know that my return is near. There is a call here, and you see this in this passage over and over again. There is a call to always be aware of what is going on around you spiritually. You see, the Christian cannot hold himself up in the closet, as it were, in isolation from the world. For Jesus says that believers must be in the world and not of the world, even as he prays in John chapter 7, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are to live in the world. We don't need some separate monastery. We don't need to become hermits living on the top of a pole. No, you are to live in the world that's around you, but you are not to be of the world. As Jesus prays for his disciples, he prays that the Lord would protect you from the evil one. And so you must be aware of what's going on all around you. You must know what's taking place in your society, in the thoughts of the so-called intellectuals. You must not be afraid of them. You must be prepared to answer them. But Jesus says, these bogus Christs, these false Christs, they're going to come. And when you see them come, you need to be prepared. You need to be ready for them. And notice what he says. He says, for these things happening, know that it is near. It is near. What is near? My return. My coming again. What is something that is near? You know, we often use that term. When we say something is near, we say it's close by. It's not far away. It's close at hand. You're expecting someone to come visit, and they call you, and they say, yeah, we're in Veneta. And you say, well, we know that they are near. They're only a half hour away or so, or however far. Maybe no water. They're a half hour away, right? They're nearby. We know they're not here yet, But they're very close. They're coming. And so you begin to get ready. You unlock the door, and the children go look at the window if it's their grandfather or their grandmother. And they can't wait because grandma and grandpa are coming. You know that the time is near. Jesus says when you see these things happening, not the good things of like your grandma and grandpa coming, but the false Christs, the tribulations, the false prophets, know that Christ is coming. And then he says, at the door. It's not that they're